Okay, we're holding on Daf Nun Tes, and off the last page with Hashem of Meister Sheni. We appreciate everybody that participated in learning the Yerushalmi. We invite anybody who can hear this recording to join us for Masechta Challah, which is coming up. Meitzi Shabbos, we'll be learning the first two blad of Challah. Sunday night, the third blad of Challah. And then Monday through Thursday, we'll have substitutes as we arrange them. So let's get started here with this page. So we're discussing different approaches to why Yechid and Kohen Gadol was Mavatal saying Vidui Meiser. So Yirmiya had a reason because they were giving Meiser to Kohanim. And Rish Lakish held you weren't supposed to do that. And Yirmiya was quoting Rish Lakish, and therefore he was mevatel it. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, holds that they could get truma, so that wouldn't be a reason for him to mevatel it. So that wouldn't work out according to him. Now, at the last line on Nun Ches Amud Beis, it says Masailei Duk Amar Kohen LeShavach. So, there are those who said that everything that Yochanan Kohen Gadol did, which we had in the Mishnah, a few things, that they were all a Shevach, they were all good. Okay? And we're going to see Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, it says in Mara Fulda La'afuke, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, which we're going to see later on, he held that some of the things he did was not good. Okay, so let's go on. Dar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Nima have you heard the answer, Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol? Why was he Mevatel? The vidoy in general. So the answer is the fisher shalach of Yisrael. This is going back to the original takana of the Mai. The original takana of the Mai that was a result of Yochanan Kohen Gadol's investigation. The fisher shalach of Yisrael mitzvah shalohim afishin lo trum gadol levavat. He found that all they were doing was they were being mafresh truma. They were aval meiser rishon and meiser sheni mehem ha'yim mafreshim mehem lo ha'yim mafreshim. But when it came to meiser rishon and meiser sheni, some did and some did not. Amar ha'lo meiser rishon b'misa. Since meiser rishon yichayv misa if you eat it, meaning if you eat it b'tivla. In other words, if you weren't mafresh meiser rishon from the tevel. And you ate it without hot frosher, you chayv misa with yeshamai. Meiser sheni ba'avon tevel, and meiser sheni was also an avon tevel. Now, the Yerushalmi here uses a different language. One he uses misa, one he uses tevel. But some of Farshim say it doesn't matter. It's synonymous, and there's a chayv misa for both. Others don't agree. They feel that because there's a difference in language, it's indication that there's actually not a chayv misa by meiser sheni.
If somebody did it correctly,
so someone did what correctly? Okay, we're going to see. The Gemara is going to ask that kasha. That's a good kasha. Why did he have him bottle it? Why don't you let those who are mafresh say it, and those who don't? How's that going to work out? That's going to be a logistic nightmare. I mean, who's going to say? I'm not going to say it because I don't give. Okay, so. I won't say Meiser.
Why didn't he try harder?
I'm publicly going to declare that I don't keep the Torah. It's not going to work. Okay.
It's also hard. How do you enforce?
Why didn't Meish Lakish try harder to convince the people to be Meiser?
Okay, this is Yochanan Kohen Gadol. We're not asking a kasha on Meish Lakish. We're asking a kasha on Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Okay? We're saying a pshat in Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So 1 second. So I just want to mention one thing over here, that in the box and below, that's where he makes this distinction between whether Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni are different chayuvim. And the Rambam and the Ravid hold that way, and the Rambam brings a svara. He says like this: if you illegally eat truma, if you're a zar and you eat truma, you have Meiser V'Deshamayim. And if you, therefore, if you're going to eat tevel before you mafresh the truma, so it makes sense that you'd be chayv misa v'deshamayim, because in that tevel, there's truma. However, when it comes to meiser sheni, What happens if you eat Meiser Sheni, let's say, Chutzlum Kaimai? You're supposed to eat it only in Yerushalayim. If you eat it outside Yerushalayim, you're not Chayv Mitzvah Yerushalayim. You're over a Laisase, you're over an Ase. But you're not Chayv Mitzvah Yerushalayim. So therefore, if you eat a Betivlai also, so it's a Svara. That's what he brings down over here from the Ram. Okay, so that's a Shaila in Rishonim and Mefarshim, whether you Chayv Mitzvah on both, or and there's a hint to this, if you hold it, that it's different in the fact that the Yerushalmi calls one Misa and one Tevel. Okay, let's go on. Bottom line is, these are very, very chomer dicker things. And Yehi Adam Kari, therefore, he was masakin the following. Yehi Adam Kari Shem L'Truma. This is a difficult line also, because we've always said throughout the whole Zeroyim, that is in the whole Masakta Demai, we said that the Amoratim were never chashin on Truma. So why is he being koyre shem l'truma? In fact, some are not even garis this language here. But l'trumas meiser, for sure you're going to have to be koyre, because you're going to take the meiser, and you're going to take the trumas meiser and give that to the kohen. Again, you're the original farmer, right? Or, I'm sorry, you're not the farmer. You're the person that bought the tvua from the Amharis. And so now you have an obligation to see that what you're going to eat is mesukin. So how are you going to do that? So you're going to be mafresh meiser from it, and then you're going to take the trumas meiser, which is not mutter for a zar to eat, and give that to the kohen. That's for sure. Then meiser sheni, what about the meiser sheni? Is mechal ala meiser. You're going to exchange that for the money. V'hashar meiser rishon u'meiser ani hamatzu mechaver l'horay. The rest, prove to me, you're the levi or you're the ani, prove to me that it wasn't taken already. You can't take it out of my rishos. I'll be mafreshit to be machmer on myself, but I'm not going to actually say that it's meiser. No, in other words, I'm not going to actually take that meiser and give it to the levi, right? So, right over there, you have a problem. So, part of the vidoy, you're saying, v'gam nesativ la levi. You're giving it to the levi. Did you give it to the levi? No, you did not give it to the levi, because you told the levi how much in the all of Haraya. Again, we're talking about 10% over here. It's not a small percentage. So I, when I was mafresh the meiser, I told the levi, prove to me that the Amoritz wasn't mafresh the meiser already, and if you can prove it, then I'll give you this meiser. If not, I'm going to all of Haraya. But you're a suffix now. You don't know whether you really have meiser or not. If you do have meiser, you can't say the vidui. I'm the santiv la levi.
This whole idea being not having
to be. Well, let me ask you this.
One second.
This only applies to Tzman.
This is what he's talking about. He did the bdika, and he found some people yes, some people no, and therefore when you bought it, you didn't know.
The Gemara speaking of
that. Gemara's talking about Tzman.
Gemara's about
yes, yes.
Okay, the words.
That's correct. That's correct, and it's going to become clearer in the next shock of Atari. Yeah, I'm sorry, Stewie.
What about so in other words, basically, we're concerned also about a lack of honesty when it says "Yagam Sati La Levi." Why can't this be one of the 24 places where there's an interchangeable between a Levi and a Kain?
Even if it's interchangeable, you didn't give it up. You didn't give it to anybody. You bought it.
I
bought it. I'm a Yisrael. I bought it, and I didn't give it to anybody. I was mafresh the maestress, and I kept it. Got it?
Yeah, but you kept the maestress because of why? Because you didn't think it was important?
No. I'm up gehit in mitzvahs. But there were people who were giving, okay. And there were some people that didn't give. They went ahead and they sold me the tour. Now I don't know whether he was mafresh meiser or not. So I'm going to be mafresh the meiser misofik, but I'm going to keep it because I'm a matzah kamei olav harayim.
Oh,
so now I've got possible meiser. I can't say the vidrei. That's why Yechidim Tzvan Gadol was mavatalit. That's what it's basically saying. Okay. Now the Gemara asks a very basic question here. Miata, this is what Chomsky just asked me. Miata mishu hu mafresh misvada, misha eno mafresh lo yisvada. Why don't you just, okay, not everybody buys demai. Let's suppose I don't buy any demai. I'm just a regular guy. I'm a farmer. I take all my maestros, I give it to the levy, and I, you know, everything is upgate, kadasu kadin. Let me say maeser. Let me say vidoy. Why was he mevatel for everybody? Oh, that's the question. So the Gemara answers, Kadot Tony. Up until the language over there in the Pesukim, I don't have it in front of me, but whatever it is, that I did everything, right? I got Masati of Lalevi. Up until that Hashkifa, everybody used to say it in a low voice. Because why'd they say it in a low voice? Because there were some people, okay? Does he say it over here? It'll say it later on. They were all here in 22. Going back to the time before Yochanan Kohen Gadol, before he was masakin all this stuff. Even at that time, before he was masakin, before he was mevatel it, they had a hanhaga to say the first part b'kol nomach. Why? Because look what he says over here. There were always individuals who would mistakenly violate one of the laws. As a consequence, they wouldn't be able to say the Meiser confession. So those individuals, as well as those who did not tithe at all, are forbidden only from reciting the first part of the confession, because that would be misrepresenting their deeds. They can still say the Hashkifim among Kachacha. Now, if the first part would be recited aloud, the silence of those who did not fulfill the laws of the tithes would be noticeable, and they would become embarrassed. So therefore, what do? We made it easy. Everybody say it shtel ahet. Those who aren't saying it out loud, or aren't saying it at all, it won't be nicker. Okay? It won't be nicker, and they won't be embarrassed. So that was the way it was before. Okay, I just want to make sure this is clear. This is before Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So now, right, mikan ve'eloch, from the Hashkifa Mamon Kachacha part onwards, they would say that out loud. They would say it with a loud voice. And in fact, in the footnotes he brings from Balei Kriya, a real professional Balei Kriya, when they come to this part of the Hashkifa, will actually raise their voices when they're reading this parsha. So it's a zecher.
That's our minig.
That's our minig? Yeah.
That's our minig.
Very good.
Yep.
So that's why... I'm glad. How are you, Abdul? So, right. Now,
I'm glad I could.
Glad you made it. Now.
One second.
Where did they say you did it? It says in the end of footnote 22 on page 59A3, there's a brackets. When reading the Torah portion of Kisavo in the synagogue, it's customary in many communities for the Torah reader to recite the Vyuhashkifim on Chachachach on a louder voice. And it's a remembrance for this particular custom. Okay. So,
that's the German minig.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's move on. It's even non Germans. This is a popular minig. One second. So now, just to make sure that this is clear, so let's just finish the discussion. So that was before Yochanan Kohen Gadol. What happened was after the Bedika, then he found that there were many more people that were not taking the Maaseres, and then already it became a bigger issue, and then already it couldn't be just said B'kol Nomach. Okay, we're going to see it in a second. Now, the other thing he did was he was mevatel the ma'irin. What's ma'irin mean? Ma'irin means those who awaken. The awakening here is people who are talking to their Ribbono Shalom and saying, Ribbono Shalom, please wake up already and protect us. Don't you see what our enemies are doing to us? You know, it's enough already. Wake up. Ura, Lama Sishan, wake up, why are you locked? Now, to talk to the Baruch Shalom that way is not exactly Kovadik. So therefore, he was Mavatalit. I can show you, I'm Ura, Lama Sishan, Hashem, Hakitzal, Tiznach LaNetzach. Don't forsake us forever. What?
It's a possible thing. We say,
Kaylin. Yeah, okay. Yachar and Kain Gadol said to them, B'chiye Sheinal Lefnei HaMakam, can the notion of sleep be applied to the Baruch Shalom? Halo Kvar Nemar, Hinei Lo Yonu V'lo Yishan Shama Yisrael. the pasuk that we've been saying every day. That he, the Lord awoke like one who had been sleeping. 31, that's in where? Ibid, that's Psalms. Psalm 78. Okay. It already mentioned Hina Lanamali Yishan Shem Yisrael. It mentioned a couple of psukim already. It's a little funny why the Gemara had to bring up another pasuk again. 31, he talks about that. Or 30, yeah. The Gemara could have posed this question from the verse already. Ur Lamas Yishan. So you don't need to wait. Quote this pasuk by Yikatz Kiyoshen. So he has a pshat. He has a pshat over here. Okay, whatever. Elo kaviyoko ki ilu lefanav sheino b'shoi shisrov b'tzor uvim asvayilu b'rvocha. The meaning of the pasuk is obvious, that kaviyoko Hashem appears not to be awake. And Klal Yisrael is a state of suffering, while the people outside of Am Yisrael are prospering. So v'chein hu aymer u'baham reisom tolan eini. When they torment me, my eyes rest. I ignore them. Okay. So he had a reason for abolishing the awakeners. Whenever we see that something has a good reason, we commend him, and therefore this was commendable. Next.
But the Gemara doesn't mean that he was mevatel the vidui completely when the Gemara, the people were doing it incorrectly.
We're gonna come back to the vidui. Just one second.
Okay.
We're still not done with the vidui. Mm-hmm. I don't think we are. I mean, it could be that we still have to go back to it again. Well, let me just read the sadr here. If I have to come back to it, I will. He was mevatelet completely.
He was.
Yeah, Yarkan was mevatel the vidui completely. And it's questionable whether that bittul that he did was just for that time, or whether it should remain batel loylam vayed. That seems to be a question. So who are the strikers? So what they used to do is they used to take a stick and knock the calf between its horns prior to slaughtering it, which is just whatever animal they were slaughtering in the Beis HaMikdash, because it goes through the thing in the bottom, that in order to be careful, in order not to have any of the five psulim of Shechita, which you know by heart because I told you the siman. You want to tell me what the five are? The five, come on, Shabbosy, what are the five? I gave you the siman. I told you, the shidduch is the ikar. The shidduch is the ikar. Hey, hagrama, shin shahiyah, daladrasa, chest chalada, ikar is ikar. So that's the five psulim of Shechita. You'll never forget it if you just remember the siman, okay? So they, in order to avoid being over on these five psulim of Shechita, right? So what did? They had to put the animal down, not because if you would take the knife standing up, you'd end up possibly pushing halada. You'd push the knife, you wouldn't slice it. Anyway, so therefore they would put it down on the ground. What they would do is they would knock the stick on its head, and it would get like a little stunned, and then they would be able to push it down to the ground a little easier. It makes it easier for them to push it down to the ground. That's what happened. So when Rabbi Yochanan saw this, when Yochanan Kohen Gadol saw this, he said, you're putting treifas on the mizbeach because you're putting possibly a pagam in the brain. The brain, what's it called? The brain. What's that?
The membrane
around the brain. V'omad v'asalem tabo. So he got up and he put these rings on the floor. All right, so exactly how that fixed everything, that's a good question. Rabba b'shem Rabbi Yehuda tabos also rechavos mamatan rechavos mamatan. He made them wide below and narrow above. So therefore, you would slide the animal's head underneath it so that the neck would be facing up and it would be easier to shift it. And yom avah yipatash makabi Yerushalayim, another thing, until his days, the hammer would bang in Yerushalayim during Chol HaMoed, referring to, we went through this in the Mishnah, that the blacksmith would be able to do his work on Chol HaMoed because it's a Dover HaAved, but because of the noise, he was Mavatlet, because of Avshar Milsa, Rashi says. Ad Pilas Yomav, when it says in his time, it means until the beginning of his days. That's what Yomav means. And in his day, they didn't have to ask about Demai because he appointed pairs of people. These are the pairs, the Zugos, which it says over here in the bottom of the box, it talks about the Zugos were in the, what do you call it, in the beginning of Avos, remember? There was Zugos over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So over here, this could be those Zugos. It's possibly that there are different Zugos. It's not 100% clear. See the textual box to see who they were. But because the bottom line is he put people who were in charge to watch out, to make sure that people were being upkehit on watching, keeping the din of Demai the way he was masakin it, and therefore there was no need to be choshish anybody was not violating the rule. Now, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is going to disagree. He's not going to feel that all these things were commendable. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, now some of the things were good, some of the things were not so good. All these names ended up with Yeshua ben Levi at the top. Originally in the second temple, when you gave Isarishan, they divided it into three parts. Three parts, okay? This is very interesting. The Shlish, or not 59b, Shlish Lamakrai Kohuno Levaya, a third were given to the people who are worthy, it says here, worthy Kohanim and Levium. Some people say it's
who
people.
Who divided it into three? The owner?
They would bring the Miser to Yerushalayim, and I guess the people there who were in charge.
We're talking about Miserishan.
We're talking about Miserishan.
It says on the English side by the temple treasurer.
Hold on a second. Let's take a look at what it says over here. So a third was given to the temple by the temple treasurer. That's what it says at the top. Thank you. A third was given by the temple treasurer to worthy Kohanim and Levim. Shlish lo Eitzer. A third was placed in the storehouse. And that was used for whatever. What was it used for? The purpose was to have a reserve ready in case of siege, right? So this was reserve. And also, I think, was used for Omer, I think. Anyway, communal needs as well. Sorry. Communal needs as well. Okay, whatever it is, it's a storage area. Ushlishlani, which is not giving out to the Levi, right? Over here we see we're taking some of it, and we're not giving it to the Levi. A third was given to the people who were poor. Okay. So on number three, he asked your question. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's statement is difficult. How may two-thirds of the Maaserishim be diverted in violation of the Torah law from being given to the Levium? Rav Cyril cited here notes that the Levium were deprived of their Maaser by a special decree. Ezra Sofer penalized Levium for not coming with him to the land of Israel. And he diverted the mice, part of the Maaserishim to the temple treasury. Our Bavli is familiar to us, is that he diverted it to the Kohanim. But here we're seeing another approach here. Okay, so through Hefker Bezin. Hefker, I don't know what the Kayak he did this with, but that's what he did. Okay, Amar Yosef Rabon, Mandava Solik Lemaidim B'Yerushalayim. If someone came to Yerushalayim to have an entire, Atlasi Garn Havayov Mididei, he would pay for the first three letters. In other words, there would be a summons. So if I had to summons somebody three times, I would pay for the summons. But Mikan Ve'elach Mishaloitzer, if you had to summons him any more than that, that already the treasury would pay for it. What this has to do with it, what we're talking about, I have no idea. This seems to just be inserted. It's interrupting the citation to inform us of one of the uses to which the third in the treasury was put. So part of the Eitzer was, besides being a reserve, it's for people who were, scofflaws, and didn't come to Bezin. Okay. Mishabal Azaman Bechayra Vehudim and Patira. You had these two guys who were like very, very, how should I say, they weren't upkeep individuals. So they would take forcibly the tithes that were supposed to be going to the temple treasury. Hoya Sophic Biyara Limchos, or Sipik Biyara Limchos, Velomicha. Now Yochanan Kohen Gadol had the power to stop them, and he did it. The Hever Hadoyas HaMeiser. Instead, he brought about an end to the recital of the Meiser confession, the Zulignai, and that's worthy of censure. In other words, this is the how Yeshua ben Levi learned the pshat in what Yochanan Kohen Gadol's reason for being mevatel the vidui was. It was because it was being taken. It was like gazela, whatever. And it wasn't being given to anyway. It wasn't being given to Levium any a portion of it anyway. Now, as Hamayirin Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the awakeners l'shavach, that was commendable. It's Hanoikvim, the strikers, that was also l'shavach, commendable. So, in other words, even though Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi held that the bittel of the vidoy meiser was not commendable, but the bittel of the other two things was commendable. Ad yamav hayipater shmak miyushalayim ad tfilas yamav. We said that already. Reb Chasidah Shalom Reb Chizkiyah lo mestavra ad soif yamav. It's not reasonable to say that the practice continued until the end of his days. Malay ofanos avrekain. Let's see. What does this mean? 12, it says. What was that?
That instead of he changed it in the beginning when he came into office.
Regard to the blacksmiths, the Mishnah says until his days. So, but in the regard to the others, it says he also abolished the awakeners. According to Chassidah, it varied in language to teach us that unlike the abolitions of the awakeners and the strikers, the practice of the blacksmiths was abolished at the end of his days. So that's what he's asking. Maybe it means the end instead of the beginning. So he says it could be. I also think so. Now the last thing, demai. What is the word demai? Finally, at the end of Meiser Sheni, we come up with the question. What does the word demai mean? Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Avuhu, Rabbi Chizki b'shem Rabbi Ruben Pazi. Demai is dome tikein. It seems, dome, it seems like, to be rectified. Or dome lotikain, and yet it seems in other respects not to be rectified. So it's not clear whether it was rectified or not rectified. Alright, we can all say the Hadron together. Hadron Allah, Mesakta Meiser Sheni, Vahadroch Alon, Daiton Allah, Mesakta Meiser Sheni, Vadaitoch Alon, Onissa Shiminoch, Mesakta Meiser Sheni, Vlatissan Shiminon, Lobe Alma of the Hadain, Lobe Alma do Asi. Bonu, this alakhatakh ay sokh shokh dis mo alakh ay gis tosh gis zakh. Ki mi mi makh mi sim khosh shokh khay mar kam mi no mi sokh shokh khaber no yes gam maintain. Ad no yva re es amoy va sholoy. Is gonna love is gonna shmer a ball.
Amen.
Mi o mo di was in his hand was so la khayom isayo va sokh yos mo khayom o ne kadr shlay. Shachlo ech lev gavel, makum chum 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 yaro,
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Shkoyach.
Where's Chaim?